right. So, today we are reading from the 10th canto, 30th chapter, text 3. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yate smita rekshana vashana nishu priyaha priyasya yati hruda murteyaha Ashvaham tu iti avalas tad atmaka anyavedvishu krishna vihara vikramaha. Gati smita prakshana vasana dishu. Priya priyasya prati rura murteya. Priya priyasya ashvaham dvitya balastaratmika. Balasmika Yavedishu Krishna Vihara Vibramaha. Gati smita prakshana vashana dishu. Priya priyasya prati ruda murtaya. Aham dvitya balas tadatmika. Yavedishu Krishna vihara vibramaha. Bhuti smita prakshana vashana dishu. Priya priyasya pati runa murteya. Ashvaham vitya balada staratmaka. Yavedishu Krishna vihara vipramaha. No one wants to try it. Any
Yeah. Krishna Vihara Vibrama.
Ladies. Gatir, in his movements, Smita, smiling, Prakshana, beholding, Vashana, talking, Adishu, and so on, Priyaha, dear gopis, Priyasha, of their beloved, Pratiruda, fully absorbed, Murtyaha, their bodies, Asau, he, Aham, I, to, Ash, Iti, speaking thus, Abalaha, the women. Tat Atmikaha, identifying with him. Yavedishu, they announced. Krishna Vihara, caused by the pastimes of Krishna. Vipramaha, whose intoxication. So translation, because the beloved gopis were absorbed in thoughts of their beloved Krishna, their bodies imitated his way of moving and smiling, his way of beholding them, his speech, and other distinctive features. Deeply immersed in thinking of him and maddened by remembering his pastimes, they declared to one another, I am Krishna. So, purport by the servants of his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Spontaneously, the gopis began moving like Krishna. They smiled as he would smile, glanced boldly as he would, and spoke as he would. The gopis were completely absorbed in the existence of Krishna and mad with love at their sudden separation from him. And thus their dedication to him attained absolute perfection. So, again. Yati smita prakshana vashana rishu priya priyasya pati ruda murtiyaha ashvam tvitya balas taratmika yavedishu krishna vihara vibramaha. So, omaganat mlanda shagran shana shlakaya chakshur unmiditam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. So this is a symptom of love, that if you meditate upon someone enough, you begin to imitate them. I've seen this sometimes in some of Prabhupada's disciples. I don't do it. But they actually start imitating Prabhupada's inflections, you know, how he speaks. Even, you know, people from the West sometimes, they imitate the way Prabhupada moves his head, you know, like people in India, yes means no and no means yes. So they become little imitation Prabhupadas. So it looks pretty ridiculous to me. Anyway, But this is common. Even in the material world, there's this principle that if you really meditate and think of someone enough, in your next life you actually become something like that. Of course, that's the principle of the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam yasateyam te kalivam tam tam evaiti kondiya siddhatad bhava bhavata. That whatever you're thinking of at the time of death, that's what you become. Of course, no one can become Krishna. But still, because of their intense love for Krishna, then they just started to imitate Krishna. So this intense love comes from separation. Actually, of all the different interactions between the lover and the beloved, the separation is the most intense and draws one the closest spiritually. I'm going to unpack what I just said. Materially, you can be separated from someone. I mean, for example, I hate to use an example, and I might do it anyway. Just like, for example, a man goes off to war, or he's in the army or in the navy, and he's out for about 8 months, 10 months, a year, separated from his beloved. And he's thinking of his beloved. But he's not actually in contact with his beloved. But the proof is that after about 6 months, he gets something called a Dear John letter. You don't know what that is? He knows what that is. A Dear John letter is, Dear Krishna Das, I found another lover. So he's thinking they're connected. Right? He's thinking they're connected. Oh, my beloved. He's looking at her picture. When will I rejoin her and be embraced by her arms? Whatever stupid thing. So, and she is thinking, I hope this guy never comes back. So, in the material world, where there's separation, it's actually separation. You understand? And another interesting fact, those of you who heard me speak before, when you meet with someone, it's also separation. It's like sometimes boys and girls are holding their hands or whatever. And you think, you know, they're together. They're holding their hands. Of course, now that you have this coronavirus, you're not supposed to hold anyone's hand. You're supposed to just go to your boyfriend and just go, namaste. Right? Dangerous. At least, you know, fist bumps like that. So in the old days, people used to hold hands before the coronavirus. So you may be holding hands, but the girl is thinking about something different. There's no meeting of minds, because you're not together, really. That's the illusion. Each person is thinking of a different thing. The girl is thinking, and I often tell this joke, that if I can get married to this guy, I can change him into something really good. Right now, he's really like raw material. And I can shape him. And the guy is, and she's putting on an act. You know, all the makeup and whatever. Lipstick, combing the hair and everything like that. And so, anyway, so the girl's thinking like that. And the boy is thinking, boy, she's really great. I got an eternal servant to her, you know. Someone to iron my clothes and smile sweetly at me. So he's thinking like that. But they're both thinking completely different things. They're not together. And then, of course, later on, they get married. And he doesn't change. He remains the same old bum he was before they got married. This is not a criticism of any man, you know, any woman. I'm just giving like a general explanation. And then someone's phone. Please turn off the phones during class. It's actually not a good idea. I'm the only one allowed to have the phone during class. So I can hear sounds like a mile away, so that's why I stopped. So anyway, so she, on the other hand, changes completely, the opposite of what he wanted. She no longer serves him. She just like watches Bollywood movies all day long or something like that, and overeats. So I'm just giving you one example. There's so many examples of this. The people that, one example the Prabhupada gave about dogs. Okay. You all like dogs. So, of course, in America, this is a more appropriate example, but Prabhupada gave the example. He said, the dog is licking its master with his tongue. It's actually mooching. Prabhupada said, the dog is poisonous. Medically, many people have died just by getting licked by their dog. Did you know that? Because the dog has these different bacteria or viruses in it, and if they lick you and have a cut, you're finished. The body goes into shutdown. So, anyway, so the dog is licking someone, and someone's thinking, he really loves it. The dog is at, you know, probably, this is a property set. Don't blame me for this one. So the dog lick, the man's thinking, kiss. Actually, there was one devotee. One of my disciples was getting licked by a cow in India, and she actually directly kissed the cow's mouth in the mouth. Not a good idea. You know, people have this need for love, so they look for it everywhere. You know, if you can't find a good wife, get a dog. So anyway, the dog is actually licking. And Prabhupada said that when a person dies, now please don't listen if you get nauseous by this description. Prabhupada said, when a person dies in India, the dogs surround the body. The first part they eat is the nose. Because they like, anyway, tastes good. So Prabhupada said, the dog is not actually kissing you, he's tasting you. So that's an example. That's an example of just like, there's no meeting of minds. Because for people to be in close, or living entities to be in close, loving relationship, they have to have a meeting of minds, right? And generally that's not the case. So even when people, the point I'm making is even when people are together, they're not together, it's just the bodies, it's just that my computer is touching your computer. You know, you could use a mobile phone. Why don't you take my mobile phone home tonight. Our phones can be together. It's like, you know, this texting thing. Also, you know, texting. You love me, I love you. Emoji. You know what emoji is? Yeah, we all know emojis. So it's no real connection. But with all Krishna's pastimes, there's a heart-to-heart connection. Whether it's in meeting, actually there's different stages. There's meeting Radha and Krishna, or meeting Krishna's devotees, and they're connected. Why? Because they both are on the same wavelength. You know, wavelength, you know, they're tuned to the same radio frequency. So they're both on the same wavelength. You know, the devotee is thinking, I just want to please Krishna. Krishna's thinking, I just want to please the body. I'm just like that verse in the Bhagavatam. Sadhava ridhyam mayam sadhanam ridhyam tvaham aranyat tena janati maham te pyo managapi. Very wonderful verse. Krishna says, the sadhus have me in their hearts. And Krishna says, but I also have the sadhu in my heart. I mean, that's love, isn't it? And then Krishna says, and they know no one else but me as theirs. And I know no one else but them as mine. Wow. I mean, look at this love. I mean, and we're looking for it with our dogs or, you know, or a man or a woman or... Of course, when I was young, people had other interesting types of pets. My brother had a pet hamster, you know, hamster? And he would kiss it, you know. We're looking for it with like cars or computers or something like that. It's not. The love in this material. Of course, mother's love for the child is the closest thing. But it's still based on the body. I'll prove it. Here's a story. This is a story written by a very great European author named Kafka. And the book is called Metamorphosis. Once upon a time, some of you have heard me tell this story before. Once upon a time, there was this young boy who was loved by his mother and sister. And they loved him very much, but somehow or other in the middle of the night, he got transformed into a giant cockroach. So they walk in the room, and he's somehow or other fallen under the bed. Anyone read this story? You read it. So he's fallen under the bed, and they come in, and they say, whatever his name is, I forget his name, John, Bill, Bruce, whatever. Where are you? And he speaks, it's me. And the problem with being a cockroach is he's lying on his back. You know, cockroach. They had to be turned over. So they turn him over. And he smells really bad. So mother, relatives. And then after a while, they sort of lose interest in him, and the poor boy, or cockroach boy, dies. So, of course, I mean, that's not proof per se, but it actually indicates that even in the relationship between mother and child, I mean, or give you an example, Prabhupada gave. There's once a man who was very rich, this is father and child, sons. A man who was very rich, and he gave all of his money to his children, and they became very rich, and he took birth next life as a cobbler, Muchi, in the same village. And his previous children and relatives, they actually came and they weren't happy with the shoes he was making, and they beat him. So, same person, right? Same person, like that. And then, here's another example. My own mother, for example. She still remembers me, don't worry. But she doesn't remember that she was married before. She said, who's he? So all that luck, you understand? Because she has dementia. Not bad. She remembers me. I'm in her will. So I'm the only, me and my brother are the only thing she remembers, thank God. Of course, that shows a mother's love is stronger than love for her husband. So she has dementia. She doesn't remember that she was married. How did I come about? You know, spontaneous generation or something like that. But somehow, virgin birth. She doesn't remember. So what happened with all that love and the ring and the wedding? You know, I showed her the wedding album. I said, this is your wedding. Who's that? I said, it's you in a previous incarnation. Changing bodies, isn't it? You was a pretty girl, and now, you know, pretty old lady. So anyway, there is so much evidence of how this love of the material world is based on the body. And it's not a connection of minds. It's not that everybody's in the same wavelength. It's an illusion. I just hate to break the news to you all, especially all you young girls who are looking forward to life, and you young men who are looking forward to romance. It's just, it ain't like that. Of course, I'm not advocating that someone should renounce their family. I'm saying that people should remain with their family as a sense of duty to Krishna. If Krishna is the center, then people have real loving relationships. You know, contrasted. If you actually keep Krishna the center, not your bodily beauty, not the money the guy gives you, but it's Krishna as the center, then you actually have love between husband and wife, children and mother, you know, pure love. It actually can be pure in that way. Father and son. Because you know what's best for them. And you're both on the same wavelength. Anyway, so that's one thing I wanted to mention about separation. All right, there's different stages of relationships. There's meeting, there's impending separation, which causes a lot of anxiety. There's actual separation, there's impending meeting, you know, puharag, just before meeting. And anyways, you got all these different stages, and all these different stages are arranged by Krishna to bring his devotees closer, to intensify their love. Therefore, not only in Radha and Krishna's pastimes, but in practically all the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, you find this particular theme of separation. Because it's when one's separated from the beloved, one is connected to the beloved, if the beloved happens to be Krishna or the devotee, the spiritual master. Just like when we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna is non-different from his name. When we feel separation from Krishna, the feeling of separation is non-different from Krishna or the spiritual master. So let's look at some other pastimes of the Lord and other incarnations. Let's talk about Lord Ram, one of the favorites of all you Fijiwalas. Now look at the intense separation, let's say, pastimes of Lord Ram. And I'm not only talking about Sita and Ram, that's an obvious one. Let's talk about Dasarath. Dasarath loves Ram so much, and he dies feeling separation from Ram, right? He dies. Of course, he was cursed, I understand. But that was just incidental. That's not the real reason he died. You know, you could say, well, he was cursed. You know, he killed the Rishi Kinnama, he was cursed. You know, that's... You know, so many times you have these curses. But the point is that he couldn't live without Ram. And so he just passed away in that state. Or, let's say other separation, Bart, for example, who basically, feeling so much separation from Ram, he couldn't bear to take a higher position than Ram. He couldn't bear to take the throne, even though Ram ordered him to do that. He actually lived underneath the earth, because Ram was sleeping on the earth. So he dug a hole in the earth and slept underneath the earth and was basically eating like something cooked in cow urine for the whole time that Ram was in exile. He ate worse than Ram. He matted his hair, feeling sad. And then, on the final day, when Ram was supposed to come back after the exile, when Ram, he was thinking Ram was not going to show up. Then he got ready to kill himself. He was actually circumambulating the fire, ready to jump into the fire, because he had taken a vow, if you don't come back the very day that your exile is over, I'm killing myself. Such love, isn't it? And it's interesting, Ram had to send Hanuman in front. He has to say, don't worry, Ram is coming, just now coming. And then he was looking in the sky, where is that airplane coming? And as he was looking, he saw the Pushpaka come, and then he was united with Ram. So, anyway, so many best, and then in relationship to the Guru. Prabhupada said in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when the spiritual master passes away, one should be ready to leave the body like the chaste wife. They used to have this rite called the Sati rite. Anyone's heard about that before? That means when the husband would die, the wife would be so dedicated to the husband, she couldn't bear to live. It's like when Pandu passed away. Of course, Kunti remained to take care of the children, and Madri left, entered the fire voluntarily. Of course, in recent times, it was a forced procedure. They would actually throw the lady into the fire. It's people have gotten very cruel in Kali Yuga. Or they send the lady, kick the lady out of the house and send her to Vrindavan to be a widow. Very, very cruel. But in those days, there was so much love. And so Prabhupada said that should be the relationship with the spiritual master. Not that literally one has to commit suicide. That's not what I'm advocating. Oh my God, I gotta be careful about that. I'm advocating the mood should be that life is not worth living unless one can serve the mission of the spiritual master. Just like with the chaste wife, her life is not worth living unless she can serve the mission of the husband, the mission of the husband and the children. That's why Kunti remained. She had the Pancha Pandavas, the five Pandavas. So that was her mission. So she remained with her children. So one should think like that, not literally commit suicide. Suicide is very sinful. Very sinful. But one should think, now that the spiritual master has passed away, I dedicate my whole life to the spiritual master. Just like when Prabhupada passed away, that's the reason I took sannyas. Not so that I could eat mahaprasadam, which I can't even digest nowadays. What a disappointment. You take sannyas and then you're too old to enjoy life anymore. So I took sannyas because it was a declaration of adherence to Prabhupada's mission. And there was no question of ever leaving Prabhupada's mission because serving Prabhupada was more important than my own Krishna consciousness. You understand? That's love. You know, some people think that becoming a gopi is more important than serving the spiritual master's mission. And so they run to Radhakund and they just like put on a sari. I mean, I have friends in Radhakund. I know about Radhakund. I have a house at Govardhan, so I know all about these things. They told me the amount of illicit sex life in Radhakund is amazing. Not wonderful, bad. Amazing. You know, with the Babaji's and everything. Not everyone, criticizing everybody. So that's the point, that the connection with the spiritual master should be like that. That, you know, the spiritual master is not present. It's not when the cat's away, the disciples will play. You know, that's it. People should understand the intense separation of the spiritual master. There is no separation. There is a meeting of hearts and meeting of minds. Just like Prabhupada said, he said, I'm never separated from my spiritual master, Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur. One time a devotee asked Prabhupada, do you ever feel intense separation from your spiritual master? And Prabhupada said, that question you don't need to ask. And the reason Prabhupada replied that, of course, first of all, it's none of your business. Second of all, Prabhupada was implicitly saying it's very intense. So there's no separation like that. And if one feels this, when the spiritual master is not present. Of course, when the spiritual master is present, it's not that one should say, well, you're here, I don't have to listen to you. But then, and take that as his or her goal in life, then all perfection is there. In other words, the goal should be to please the spiritual master, which is ultimately pleasing Krishna, spiritual master and Krishna. You can't separate the pleasure of Krishna and the pleasure of the spiritual master. But if one is simply thinking, I want to get out of this material world, it's so miserable. I want to go back to Godhead. I mean, this is, and realize my spiritual identity. It's a good desire. But really, the catch-22 is you're thinking, I really want to realize my spiritual identity. I want to become liberated. I want to get out of the material world. Actually, even the psychologists say that you can analyze someone's tendency towards depression based on how many times they use the word I or me in a sentence. Because we devotees in the Krishna consciousness know we always use we too much. You know, like we say, we are going to the store. We are doing our thing. So who's going to the store? We? I mean, who else is going? Oh, just me. So. Because we use it. Anyway, it's a formal type of thing. You know, we are doing this, we are doing that. So psychologists say that the more someone uses the word I or me in a sentence, that indicates it's roughly equivalent to, or they can analyze your tendency towards depression, because you're self-centered. So instead of thinking, you know, and you will go back to Godhead. I mean, that's the way to go back to Godhead, is to be dedicated, you know, to the mission. Yasya prasada, bhagavat prasada, yasya prasada, navati, the token. I mean, how many times do we chant it? We don't even think about it. That by the mercy of the spiritual master. So how does one get, you know, one can get the mercy of Krishna, and without the mercy of the spiritual master, one doesn't get the mercy of Krishna. So even if you're trying to become a gopi, you won't without the mercy of the spiritual master. You get maya Krishna. You understand? You'll think that you're seeing Krishna, but you're actually seeing a figment of your imagination instead. So to get the mercy of the spiritual master, feeling separation or not feeling separation means to please the spiritual master. What pleases every spiritual master in ISKCON and ultimately Prabhupada is to bring people to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. Or bring people to Krishna. You understand? Just like there's that story with Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj, that Prabhupada wanted him to go back to India, he was in America, to manage the temples. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj had a different plan. He wanted to stay in America. So, but he understood what pleased Prabhupada. He presented Prabhupada with all these young, new bhaktas with bald heads. Bhaktas don't have bald heads anymore. Nice people there. So he presented, and Prabhupada said, all right, you stay here. And Prabhupada was very pleased. And my interactions with Prabhupada were the same. You know, the story I've told many times to the devotees, Prabhupada was so pleased with someone who distributed so many of his books, he said, he has the mercy of Krishna. More than Prabhupada was pleased with me, who's the temple president. I'm not saying people shouldn't be temple presidents. It's good to be temple president. Someone has to do the job. But Prabhupada was more pleased with this humble brahmachari. Me, you know, I'm a big, at that time, big temple president. Now I've inflated myself further, but it's like the frog story, you know. Puff yourself up. You puff your, you know, people puff themselves up and get a higher and higher position at ISKCON, and they think, now I've become more Krishna conscious. No. You haven't. So this humble devotee had distributed so many books, and Prabhupada said, he has the mercy of Krishna. That's the point. So that's really, so somehow we're focusing on bringing people to Krishna's lotus feet. And that is the real mood of connection to the spiritual master, regardless of whether he's present or not. Using one's brain, however, to bring people to Krishna's lotus feet. Anyway, so this is the mood of separation, and then one is connected with Guru, one is connected with Krishna, one is connected with Srimati Radharani and all the spiritual entities. It's a secret separation. And Prabhupada said, our preaching should be done in the mood of separation. One time a devotee said that preaching is done in the mood of the gopis. They had some discussion. And they asked Prabhupada, is that true? And Prabhupada said, yes. But Prabhupada meant that in the mood of intense hankering and separation, he didn't mean that everybody who is going out preaching identifies themselves as a gopi. You have to understand the context. Yeah. So this is, anyway, so it's a very important point. So here in this particular verse, the gopis are feeling so much separation from Krishna, they're identifying. So if we feel separation from Prabhupada, our spiritual master, we will identify with them in the sense of spreading Krishna consciousness, right? Not that we'll sit on a big seat or imitate their dialect of speaking, right? You know, so that's not really what it means here, what I mean. It means imitate their mood of intense compassion for the conditioned souls. And Prabhupada felt so much compassion. Prabhupada cried when people left the Krishna consciousness movement. That's what we need to imitate or follow the footsteps of. Okay. On that happy note, we've got about 1 minute left. Any questions or comments? Comments? Questions? Problems? Complaints? Issues? It's actually 7 o'clock, so. No? Really? Everyone's so glad. Fiji's like that. People are afraid of asking questions, but I'm afraid they don't blast them or something like that. But I don't do that. I don't blast people. Okay, so one of our businesses, all glories to this fine glory. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.